How's you guys' summer been? Yeah? A couple weeks ago, I said, who wants this summer to be a bunch of nothing? Raise your hand if you're just like, I need a break from just life. Who wants to be just a bunch of nothing, just chill, relax in the summer? Okay, not many of you. See, who wants just a bunch of everything? You just want to do a bunch of, yes. Okay, that was kind of how I was, like, I'm like not in the center, it's going to bug me. As a 10-year-old, like the summertime, I feel like there's no peak season of summer than when you're 10 years old. You can just do a bunch of everything, like swim 9 hours a day. Like I was in the pool, back out, eating lunch, wait a half hour. In the pool, back out, eat a snack, wait a half hour. In the pool, you know, like you name it, like I was a G.I. Joe's freak. Like I had all the G.I. Joe's, and like my sister was like, want to play Barbies? And I could justify it because I had G.I. Joe's and they had guns. And so I was like, all right, yeah, sure. They need like a hot babe. So like I was all about whatever, you name it. And I had this best friend growing up. His name was Miles. And we would do this all the time. Did anyone do like I'm calling it like a mega sleepover. You did it two nights in a row. Like you did this like sleepover. And again, did anyone do that as a kid? I swear, our moms talked and they're like, hey, so let's do this like on a schedule. You get the kids for 2 days next week. I'll take them for the next, you know, like they did this like mini vacation. I swear they're scheming the whole thing. But we would do this like mega sleepover and do everything I just described. And like usually we'd cap it off. We'd maybe run a movie, just eat a ton of junk food. And then we'd like play video games. I haven't touched like a video game in a couple years. But there was this one video game that we really loved. And it was this college football video game, NCAA football. And you could essentially play as a team. You could play as like a college team, or you could create your own team, create your own players, create yourself, which was like the coolest thing in the world. You're like, I'm going to create myself. I'm going to win the Heisman. So we would spend hours doing this. Like, I realize now I had a problem. Like, we would spend hours like creating each and every player on that team. Like backup punter. We would create everyone, and they would be like all of our friends. So like the quarterback, it was always a toss-up between me and Miles. Like, who's going to be quarterback this season? Well, you had it last season. Dang it. So we switch off quarterback and running back because those were like the most points that you could get. Our friends, like we had this huge three giants at our school. They were like our front line. One guy was a center, and so we're like, yeah, there's no other spot for them. And so we'd have each player be like one of our legit friends. But it became unbelievably awkward when it's time to create yourself, like I was explaining. It was a moment of how highly do I think of myself in this moment, right? Because you had like a 1 to 100 scale. 1 being, why are you even playing football? 100 being, you should be in the NFL. And you could cheat and just do 100 on like every player. Did anyone do that? Like if you would ever create a player, yeah, you would just cheat. And like he would run like 80 miles an hour. He'd return like kicks and 3 seconds. And so we wouldn't do that. We wanted to be realistic. So like I'd be creating me and be like, all right, height, dang it, 50 out of 100. Weight, 40 out of 100. Dang it. Speed, 90. No, 80? 75? 75 out of 100. Dang it, I thought I was faster than that. You know, and you'd create yourself, and at the end of the day, like we would go on to play this entire season the entire night. We would play all 15 games straight, wake up in the morning, like just out of it, repeat, next day, mega sleepover. We do it again. So this is how the best teams operate. This is how the best coaches operate, right? They figure out, they don't want a bunch of Michael Jordans playing each position, like all about themselves. Like Michael Jordan was a team player. I get that. If you want to talk, oh, LeBron, Michael Jordan, we'll talk, okay? But like if each coach wants, okay, I need the best player to play this position, because that's what he's gifted at the best. I need this guy. Dude, this guy can kick a football really far. He can't run to save his life, but he can kick a football. He's going to be our kicker, right? The best coaches will do this. They'll put guys in the same spot. Or not in the same spot, in different spots. Sorry, in different spots. And God, he's not some like this coach up in heaven with this huge giant gold whistle like calling plays, but he's doing the same thing with the church. He wanted to design the church and us Christians in the same mentality. He gifted us. We're all gifted individually a little bit different than everyone else, okay? Our heart bends towards something unique. We have our own, what we're going to call today, spiritual gifts. We all got this spiritual gift, or maybe multiple spiritual gifts, that we're uniquely designed, and our heart bends towards these certain things that God's saying, look, if everyone's doing their part, like a team, if everyone's doing their part, if everyone's diverse in what they do, the church and like Christians in the world will be changed. If we could tap into the potential in us all doing our part, not even here in the body, but outside the body, incredible things can happen. And so today is going to be, I really need you guys with me today. I don't have too much time, but it's going to be, I don't want to say lecture-like, because then you're immediately going to check out. We got a lot of info. We're going to look at a list. Paul's going to write a list here, and I want to unpack that. And at the very end, we got a bunch of questions. I want us to figure out, what am I gifted at? How's God wired me? Maybe you already know, but maybe you don't know, and you're trying to figure that out, and that's what I want today to be about. So, turn your Bibles to Romans 12. Ty and Tavion, we got some Bibles. If you guys want the real thing, they're going to be passing out Bibles. Just throw up your hands. Romans 12 is where we're going to be today. I want you to walk out of here with something that you know you can do and not just learn. All right? I'm going to preface it with a story. So, right after World War II, and especially in Europe, cities were left in complete ruins. Maybe you've seen pictures. You guys who are in history class, you know the aftermath of World War II. It was just brutal. And a couple of these cities, these towns, were just demolished. Like, there used to be buildings everywhere, and now it's just a bunch of craters in the ground, right? You've seen these pictures before. Now, there's this one breathtaking cathedral, this English cathedral that got destroyed, and there was a team of German students who volunteered their summer to help rebuild it. Easy task. That was what they were going to do with their summer. They're going to try and rebuild this English cathedral. So they volunteered to do that, and it was really difficult. No brainer. It was really difficult, but it wasn't because, like, how do we put all this stained glass together? There's this giant statue. Actually, a statue of Jesus. And it was really hard to put back one specific thing about this statue. You see, Jesus had his arm stretched out in this statue, and below it was the inscription, "Come unto me." Now, that's probably from Matthew 11:28. Come unto me if you're weary, if you're tired, if you're burdened. I'm going to give you rest. That's what that probably came from. But they came to the problem of his hands had also been blown off by whatever, the shrapnel or a bomb or something. And so they had to put together these hands, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't figure it out. They didn't have enough gorilla glue to just put back each of the fingers. They couldn't figure out how to do it, and so they talked. They're like, "What do we do? Like, this is the most important part about this cathedral." And so, after a lot of discussion, they came to the conclusion of, "We're actually going to leave it out as it is. He won't have any hands, but we're going to change the inscription." And so they changed the inscription to, "Christ has no hands but ours." And it's that truth that Paul is trying to grab our attention with in Romans 12. This is his thrust. This is what he's going after in this section. Christ has no hands but ours. So let's read. Romans 12. I'm going to go in, I'm going to start in verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Stop. Let's stop there, and we'll move on for a second. Each one has a specific gift unique from everyone. Paul paints this picture of this body. Fun fact, your body has many parts to it. Various parts make up your body, right? You got your arms, you got your legs, you got your ears, you got your thumbs. I really hope I can keep these. These are amazing. Thumbs are amazing. You got taste buds. I don't know what I would do if I could not bite into an oregano's pizza cookie. I need that in my life. I do. Bacon and pizza cookie, those two flavors must be included in my life at some point in time. I don't know what I would do without thumbs. I don't know what I would do without my taste buds, my ears. The body works best when everything is doing its part, right? Like, I don't know how Kyle Price does this or whatever. I can't do it. I don't know how he does it, but like there's like 18 different moves that need to happen in order for that sweet move, right? Your body is functioning together all at the same time. It's all doing its individual thing. I don't know how many brain synapses this creates, but your body is doing so many different things at the same exact time, and then it creates this unbelievable balanced body. When every part is doing its thing, it's incredible. And that's what Paul is saying here. This is the body of Christ. He's going, body of Christ, body. Get it? Body of Christ is functioning the same exact way. I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about us. We all got something that we can do. We've all got some sort of a spiritual gift, some sort of a contribution to this body. Your goal isn't to show up on the weekends to get fed, to sing and then walk out of there and then kind of do that again the next weekend. Your goal is because you've got something to throw on the table. You've got something to give. Let's read on. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. I'm going to roll through these. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. I will get to that. If it is serving, let him serve. And if it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. These are spiritual gifts right here. There's actually a few more. It's in a different part of the Bible. I wanted to hone in on just this part. I'm going to add one at the end. I'm not adding it. It's in another book in the Bible. But I wanted to include it because it's super important. Now, here's what I mean by today's going to be a little bit different, okay? We're gonna unpack each one of these. Now, if you got notes, if you're a journaler or something, you got the notes app, I think it's already included on your phone. Bust that out. This could be a really great time to take some good notes. We're going to bust through these, guys. The spiritual gifts, hear me out. They're not as, like, weird and mysterious as I think we sometimes think. If you put the word spiritual in front of something, it kind of makes it a little bit odd. That's not the case with the spiritual gifts. As you just saw, a few of those aren't really that different at all. Let's unpack these. First one, the gift of prophecy. All right, let's do this. The gift of prophecy. This isn't a crystal ball. This isn't predicting the future. This isn't like, I'm proclaiming a word from the Lord. He told me this. Like, this is a little bit, actually a lot different than that. Basically, this is what I learned in my study. The gift of prophecy is basically just reporting something that comes to mind. Maybe there's a spontaneous urging of the Holy Spirit into your mind, into your heart. You might think it's totally random. Maybe it's like it's happening over and over again. You're like, man, I keep feeling the need to say this to someone. I keep feeling the need to like share and encourage this passage with someone. I don't know why, but I just need to do it. It might be totally random to you, but for that other person, if you're a Christian, you don't believe in coincidences. God is using you to speak to that person very specifically and very intentionally. There might be something going on in that person's life where if you were to come with them with that, it would be a hit like a ton of bricks. They'd be like, whoa, what? How did you know? I don't know. I just opened my Bible, that's where I landed, and I want to tell you. It might be that simple. It's not like I was looking into this crystal ball and God told me to say this. If someone were to come up to me like, God told me to tell you this, I'd be like, okay, back off. Like, kind of maybe keep it to yourself. Like, we're cool, but like, I don't know. Like that, I might shut off in that moment. But if someone were to come up to me and be like, I sense like I need to encourage you. I was reading this. It reminded me of you. And I don't know what will come of it, but just read it, pray about it, and have a great day, man. And then, what if that's exactly what I needed in that moment? Might have the gift of prophecy. Now, I'm going to come back to that because this is tricky and I want to unpack it a little bit more at the very end. Prophecy. Gift of prophecy. Let's move on. Some of us might have the gift of service. The gift of service, this is the ability to joyfully work alongside someone. You want to do it. You enjoy helping others. You're not you unless you're serving. Like, you don't feel normal. You're not like, I'm content unless you're helping someone. You're serving in some way. Like, the Africa team, you had that spiritual gift of service. You had that spiritual gift of service. Like, you're fueled by serving others. And, like, you're able to read people's needs and you hop all over it. You might have the gift of service. Encouragement, the gift of encouragement. Okay, this isn't like saying nice things to people. The gift of encouragement is you are an encouragement. You encourage others in their walk with Jesus. The gift, the spiritual gift of encouragement is that you seek out ways to just edify people. You seek out ways to just bless them with your words. You seek out ways to bless them just in any way that you can because you're an encourager. That's just you. I can think of a couple right now in this room. I'm not going to point you out. That'd be awkward. That you just, man, you're an encouragement every Sunday. Every Sunday, you are an encouragement to me and everyone around you. Definitely have the gift of encouragement. The gift of teaching. This is the God-given ability. You understand truth. You understand biblical truth. And not just that, but you're able to communicate it in a relevant way, and it sticks. If you've got the gift of teaching, the spiritual gift of teaching, you might be one of those weirdos who loves studying, who loves reading. That's me. You might be people that loves research and loves just getting as much information as possible, but then not even just that, but you want to give it to someone else, and you're able to do it, and where it applies, it sticks. They actually hear you. Might have the gift of teaching. Pause. I said weirdos. You're not weird if you like to read, research. That was sarcasm. Are we cool? Are we cool? Okay. I got a thumbs up over there. Sweet. Okay. Leadership. Well, I'm almost done with this list. Leadership. Like, I skipped it. Actually, generosity. If he is able to contribute to the need of others, let him contribute to the need of others. Let him give generously. This is your ability to give money, other forms of wealth, your time, your talents, joyfully. You understand? I'm not bringing my wallet into heaven. Like, you understand, like, whatever I have, ultimately, that's a loan from God. I've got, like, this doesn't mean, like, whoever is able to give generously, you're just loaded. No, this is more of a measure of the heart. You're like, yeah, I understand what I have. Is it mine to begin with? And I just want to bless. If you have the gift of generosity, you're stoked for Advent Conspiracy in December. You, like, you can't wait for Advent Conspiracy. You seek out ways. At school, man, someone doesn't have a lunch, boom, I'm on it. I got you today, man. Like, that's you. You're seeking out ways to bless people, to give away your money and your time when they don't ask for it. That's just you. You love doing that. You might have the gift of generosity. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. This is just, you don't just lead by example. You naturally know how to lead. You naturally know how to influence people. Your team captain on football, cheer squad, chess, whatever. You've got this ability to just lead. You know how to influence, and people will follow your lead. Use that in an incredible way. Spiritually, you got this ability to just pave the way and lead by example for what it means to be a Christian, and people see that and they follow that. They're influenced by that. The gift of mercy. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The first person I thought of when I thought of this is my wife. She's the most merciful woman I've ever known. You have this capacity to express a great compassion on people. And not just that, but you don't feel it. You follow through with it. This is what sets this gift apart from just feeling bad about things. You don't just feel the need. You follow through with the need. Maybe you see something on the news. You can't stand it. You want to do something about it. You see others hurting. You don't just feel sympathy for them. You follow through with them. If you have the spiritual gift of mercy, you have this amazing ability to just walk in others' shoes. In HSM, I see this a lot. I see students just stepping it up in incredible ways, helping a brother and a sister out when they need it most, following through, not just feeling. And now it's not on this list. The last one is the spiritual gift of evangelism. We're going to talk about this in a couple weeks, so I wanted to just preface it here. It comes from Ephesians 4:11. The gift of evangelism. You're often thinking constantly about people who are lost, and you have this strong just desire to see them meet Jesus. The spiritual gift of evangelism is you are looking for ways to spark up conversations with someone where you want to figure out their questions and their doubts. You've got a serious mission at school and in public. Like, you, if you have the spiritual gift of evangelism, everything situation that you're in is an opportunity. You got this urge that people will come to know Jesus, and you have to follow through with it. And we just unpacked all of these guys, and I didn't mean to be just teacher mode there for a second, but now is the time where I want to involve us. I'm going to throw up a bunch of questions for each one of these on the screen. Hold on. And I want you to ask yourself, maybe this is me. As you read each one of these questions, watch your heart for a second. Which way does it lean towards? Does it bend towards any one of these things specifically? Consider it. You might know already, before we even got into this list, I have an idea of what I'm spiritually gifted in. Maybe there's something else you had no idea until now. Let's throw up some questions. All right, now, I do believe in this gift, but I also do believe that it's rare. Do you feel God bringing things to your mind with such clarity and force that you just feel the need to share it for some reason? Do you have this sense of urgency and persistence with what God speaks into your heart? Now, the reason why I say this, I think this is rare, because I think it's really, really quickly misunderstood, right? Like, if your friend were to call you and be like, hey, man, I've been trying to get a hold of you. You're not picking up the phone. And your reaction is, oh, yeah? Well, this is a reflection of God trying to call you, and you're not picking up the phone. How's your prayer life? I'm sorry, I'm just a prophet, okay? Like, are we cool? Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't all of a sudden start looking into things like, I am a prophet now that I look back on that situation. Like, this is just, it's got to be this, like, all of a sudden this spontaneous urge, and you know it's from God and it's not from you, and you just feel this need to go with it because there's a force behind it. There's a clarity behind it, and you bless people you thought was random, but it's not. So you might have this gift. Understand that a lot of discernment, a lot of wisdom that goes in this one. All right, next. Ask yourself a couple of these questions. I'm not going to roll through all of these. I especially love just the first one. It says, do you enjoy helping others? That's huge. If you have the gift of service, you genuinely enjoy helping people out. It's not like an obligation for you, right? You enjoy doing it. The third one is, when someone is doing a job poorly, this is huge. Is your first instinct to help them, or is it to criticize? That's big. School projects, brother, sister thing. Like, if they're doing a job poorly, are you sitting back laughing and like, oh, or are you, no, I want to help. You're not doing it right, and it's bothering me because I want you to do it right. Is that you? Last one, I love it. When someone asks for help, do you, is it hard for you to say no? This might be some of you. Learn how to say no to, don't say yes to everything, but if you have a tough time saying no when someone asks you for help, man, this might be you. Next, gift of teaching. Number three, I'll just talk about this one. Do people come to you with insight about the Bible? Are you known as, maybe you're in the house group, are you one that speaks up? Do you piggyback off what the leader just said? You add incredible things to the message. Do people know you as someone who knows the Bible, who knows truth? And when you teach, do people get it, right? If you have the gift of teaching, you're not just opening your mouth because, like, oh, I love teaching. Well, no, people have to actually get something out of what you're saying. Some of you are like, I love talking, so I'm the gift of teaching. Some of you just need to stop talking a lot of the time, so you don't have the gift of teaching. All right, in love, we're cool. So let's move on. The gift of encouragement. Now, this is huge. Do you enjoy, I love how this keeps popping up. Do you enjoy walking with someone through difficulties? Once again, is it not an obligation? Are you not like, oh, whatever, I'll do it? No, do you love doing that? Number three, like, are you attracted to those who are hurting and needy? You know what I mean. The last one, do you find it easy to express joy in the presence of those who are suffering? This one's really hard for me. Is anyone else with me where, like, if there's a weird moment, like a tragic moment or just difficult situation, you don't know what to say? You'd rather just... But if you have the gift of encouragement, you just, boom, you've got it. You know exactly what to say. And sometimes that's just, I'm sorry, I'm praying for you. And there's just this incredible sense of encouragement that comes from them when you are in that moment. Generosity, just keep asking yourself these questions. See if this is you. Do you enjoy giving away your things? Do you often hear people commenting that you are a generous person? That right there, that's a no-brainer. Are you known as being generous? Are you known as like, oh, you don't have $5? Cool, here you go. Do you find yourself looking for opportunities to give your money even when no one asks? Is it just you? I'm here to give, man. Like, that's you. Like I said, my wallet. When I die, staying in my back pocket of my jeans, or if you're like me, in the front pocket. And it's not coming into heaven with me because it's just a loan, and I'm here to give. That might be you. Leadership. Ask yourself this. Let's deal with number three, especially. When a difficult situation arises, do people go to you? And they look for your leadership and your influence. Do you find leadership enjoyable rather than frustrating and difficult? You love stepping up. You love just taking the lead. Mercy, the gift of mercy. Let's focus on that last one especially. Do you find yourself responding to people more out of compassion than judgment? What's your motive of your heart when people are hurting? Compassion or judgment? Are you thinking of ways that you can help people that are suffering? I like the first one too. Do you find yourself being drawn to people who are needy, hurting, sick, disabled, or elderly? Like, do old people not weird you out? Or do you like, I want to find ways to help them. I want to find ways to help people that are disabled and sick and hurting, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to search for it, the gift of mercy. And the last one, evangelism. Are you able to effectively communicate in a language that people can understand? Do you just know how to spread the news of Jesus? The last one says, do you find it easy to direct a conversation toward the topic of Jesus Christ? That's huge. If you feel like you might have the gift of evangelism, I would definitely focus on that last one. Do you have this keen way of just figuring out a way to like ninja-like make a conversation somehow turn around and become all about God or about Jesus? Be thinking about all these questions that we just talked about. I got those from a website. If you want the website, at the very end, come up with me. There's even more spiritual gifts. There's more about each one of these gifts. If you want a little bit more info, I'd love to show you. But guys, like I said, this isn't about learning. This is about doing today. Chris, our worship leader, shared 1 Peter. Would you actually turn there? It's to the right. Go to 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, verse 10, it's towards the very end of the Bible. This is what I mean. Verse 10, it says, and I'll reiterate what Chris said. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. The ESV says, you got to be a good steward of your grace, of the grace given to you. Being a good steward isn't just talking about use your money wisely. It's talking about use your gifts wisely. God's saying, I've given you gifts. I have specifically wired you in a way so that you serve people. I've specifically gone into your heart and adjusted it and started bending it towards mercy or towards service or towards encouragement in such a way, not that you can just sit at home and sit in church and just have this unbelievable urge to be merciful and to serve people, but then do nothing about it. God's saying, no, you got to use it. You got to use your gift in the best way you possibly could. Like, because we've all got this sweet spot that God really wants us to fully tap into. We've all got this, like, maybe we just realized it today. Now, hear me out, though. Maybe you got this sweet spot, and maybe it's leadership. Maybe you realize, man, I enjoy leadership. I enjoy having the ability to influence others, and you want to use it in an incredible way. But don't disregard every other gift or every other component of what it means to be a Christian. Don't be okay with being some arrogant jerk because you don't have the gift of encouragement, right? Someone were to call you and be, hey, dude, Saturday, I would love your help. We're moving. We're in the third story of our apartment, and I could really use your help. My family, my mom hurt her back, dude, and you're buff, and I know you can handle it. And you would be like, Saturday. I'm actually not spiritually gifted in service. So I'd show up, and I just wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do. So maybe ask someone else. That's not what I'm saying. Don't disregard every other gift just because that's not your sweet spot, but more of just, you know what your best capability is. You know what you can hone in on. Focus on that. Run with that. But don't be okay with not being an encouraging person. Don't be okay with not having any mercy or not having this ability. Man, we should all be evangelists. We all have the ability to share the gospel. Some are just way better at it than others. You get what I'm saying? Okay, so what is your gift? Think of it right now. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. What do you feel like it is? Gifts. Maybe it's multiple ones. Is it service? I want you to step in the back and grab a student leadership application and jump on board the student justice team. We've got a serve day in October coming up. We're going to the Dream Center in downtown. We're going to throw on this huge birthday party for all the kids who had a birthday in October. We're going all out. Food, games, everything. We're just going to make their day. Justice team has other stuff going on periodically. We're working on that to make sure there's other things you could be doing. If it's service, jump on that team. If it's generosity, don't just wait for Advent Conspiracy to come around. We got a third Sunday charity every Sunday. Bring food, bring canned goods, bring food that we give away. We gave away almost 9,000 pounds of food last weekend. 9,000 pounds of food. You know how many green beans that is? We just gave it away. And you imagine if you guys got involved. 10,000. At least. Do something crazy. If you got the gift of generosity, do something crazy and start a fundraiser for camp scholarships. Camp's expensive. We try to find the best camp and the most reasonable camp. It's just still expensive, right? Like $400 is $400. Do something crazy. If you got the gift of generosity, throw on a fundraiser and give all that money to a camp scholarship for someone. If you got the gift of teaching, you feel like, man, lead a Bible study at lunch at school. Every Tuesday, meet in classroom 3:30. I don't know what it is. Is that a math class? What is it? Meet in classroom 3:30. Hold a Bible study every month, or every Tuesday. Step up in house groups. You know, if you're in leadership or encouragement or many others, like Ryan said, he talked about Shake It. Man, you should be all over that. There's stuff in the back. You can sign up. I'm just, guys, this is what I want us to do today. I don't want us to just learn. I don't want us to just figure out what our gift is. I want us to do something with it. If you have no idea what it is, I've got like 4 cards in the back. They're like challenges. Pick one of those up. They're all different. You might figure out what it is in one of those challenge cards. Head into that back table. Get involved. Get plugged in. Guys, I just want us to use our gifts. Because it'd be a waste if we didn't. Let's pray. God, I pray that we continue to live with a purpose this summer. We're going through a series called Summer Vibes, and God, that's just basically how can we make the best use of our time this summer, not waste it, and practically live out our faith. And God, this one is so practical. God, I pray that we won't just identify our gifts today, but that we would apply these gifts today. And that we could imagine the unbelievable potential if we all tapped into this purpose for our life. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.